Bored with Friends, episode 32, Future Plans.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast about hobby gaming and looking into the future. I'm Zach Dyer, and on today's episode, I am joined by Sean Rocket Punch Bissonette.
I love the future, Zach. How do you feel about the future?
I haven't seen it quite yet, but I heard it's sparkly.
Ooh, like that.
Yeah. And on the left of me, we'll say left, even though we're on Skype, Devin Decker.
When you think about the future, you really just want to think about what you're going to be doing in a couple of days from now, and that's going to be the person that defines your own personal future.
So was that George Bush again, or was that
somebody else? I don't know what's happening. I'm like, he said the future, and like, I'm already happy that it's November, because like, he said I wasn't going to be on October's episode, but like, I'm afraid that I slept through October.
You need to just do like the History Channel, the guy with the crazy hair, that meme where it's just like, aliens. That's how I imagine that voice.
Yeah, oh, that sounds about right.
I don't know what just happened. Happy Festivus. Where are we?
We're in October.
It's it's a couple days before Halloween. So happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to Bored with Friends. Podcast all about
this is our spooky episode, I guess. But as we were saying about the future, you could interpret that in a multitude of ways. Like if you walk into Walmart, it's already Christmas. That annoys me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. No, same thing as CVS. I went to CVS the other day to buy some candy because reasons, and it was already Christmas stuff. Like the Halloween stuff was already gone, and it was like a week before Halloween.
It's ridiculous. They didn't even get time to get the clearance candy, which is the best part of Halloween and Valentine's Day, in my opinion.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So it's been a while since we've had a normal episode, I would say. I mean, not that we are upset about the crossover. That was super fun. Sean, you missed it. I think you were asleep.
I was so upset about it that I just decided to not participate.
I did tell everyone your opinion. You didn't. You didn't like it, which
no,
was pretty much across the board.
The Ninja Turtles game, of all the games that we played like that game, that was my least favorite version of that game because it empowered the bad guys way too much.
Yeah, pretty much. But, so this episode, I have to apologize to our listeners. It's a little thrown together. The original planned October episode didn't end up happening, which is okay. So Sean and Devin were gracious enough to come on board. We're going to do our normal thing where we talk about some recent plays, which is actually getting back to normal because the last two episodes we didn't do that. And then our second half of the show, we're not going to do any kind of review game. But what we are going to do is talk about what we have plans for the podcast and our newly infantile forming network thing that we are going to try to announce. If you're not interested in listening to that, I know, right? If you're not interested in that, just listen to the first half of the episode where we got lots of mini game reviews and recent plays that we want to talk about. And the second half of the episode, we're just going to talk about things that we have planned for the future. All right, sound good? Everybody on board? Cricket?
Are you asking the audience or us?
I don't know. Like,
what an interesting turn of events. Suddenly, choice.
If you'd like to know what happens next, turn to page. Wait, we did that.
Oh man, how
last
good
time.
Were those? How good were those? Goosebumps! You were the ones that really brought me into that world.
Goosebumps weren't.
Remember the Goosebumps movie?
No.
You mean with Jack Black?
Yeah, with Jack Black. I've been seeing movies again lately. I'm gonna like just take over for 2 seconds.
There it goes.
I've been going to the movies again a lot, and they have Slappy, the character from the Goosebumps film, has a PSA, and it really bums me out that it's not Jack Black doing the voice of Slappy. That's what I have to say.
So I'm gonna throw it out there. The cover of that book terrified me more than anything of my childhood. I was terrified of the illustration of the cover of that book.
Which one? There's like a billion Goosebumps books.
No, I think he's talking about
Night of the Living Dummy.
Oh,
okay.
Which, Slappy, for Goosebumps, while we're talking about it. I love that Slappy is not the living dummy in that one. I like that it is another dummy that is the bad guy.
So funny thing, the second one,
Slappy is the bad guy, and then the third one, he is good again.
Huh. But kind of funny thing with just Slappy in general. One of the times that I played a Nuzlocke, I got a one of the ghost Pokemon. Can't remember. It doesn't matter. Named it Slappy. Or not a living dummy. It was a ghost. Named it Slappy. It wasn't Ghastly. It was the one. It was Bennett. I had Bennett, and I named it Slappy. And that's my story.
That's a pretty good story.
I caught a Bennett today in Pokemon Go.
All right.
Oh, cool. So, it all comes together.
Super appropriate that I am wearing our brand spanking new Bored with Friends t-shirts that say 60% on topic guarantee, because you guys just proved why I put that on a t-shirt. All right.
Reasons.
So, recent plays, just getting back to board games. So, I finally, after owning it for quite a while, I finally got the game Viticulture to table. This is a completely different kind of conversation than what just transpired in the last 5 minutes. Viticulture is a game about making wine. Although, if you have enough wine, I'm sure your conversations will de-evolve into what just happened in the last 5 minutes. Viticulture is from Stonemaier Games, designed by Jamie Stegmaier. And it is gorgeous. It is a worker placement game where you own your own vineyard. And you're trying to use your workers to basically do all the actions that would get you to grow grapes, collect them, smash them, turn them into wine, store them in your cellars, and, you know, sell the wine. You can attract visitors to help you. The visitor cards will, you know, do different things like give you more cards or give you more actions or let you take actions again. But it's really neat because the start of the game, you're given mama and papa cards, which tell everybody what their unique starting features are going to be. How many workers they get, how much money they start with, how many extra cards they start with. So everybody's got a little bit of a different start. And the mama and papa cards are really cute. They look like a locket that's been opened up. And on the other side is the information that you need. And it just basically, it gives everybody a unique start every single time you play. The worker placement element is interesting because every round is 1 year long, broken up into four seasons. And if you use one of your workers, they are done for the year. So you don't get them back during each season. So you have to be very careful how you use your workers. You don't want to use too many in the fall season and then not have anything to do, any available for you in the winter. You can hire more workers, which is highly recommended, because the more workers you have in a worker placement game, the better it's going to go for you. And you can basically just spend time building buildings, upgrading your store for your wine. It's just a really nice theme. It's not combative in any way. You can kind of, you know, mess with players because you can block them out when you take a selection space on the board. It's very gorgeous as far as components because it is a Stonemaier game, much like Scythe, which you have played, Devin. The pieces are gorgeous. It's all sorts of, you know, nice, good quality components, beautiful artwork. Overall, I really enjoyed it. Also, the wine tokens, they are clear crystals that you can place on the board. And depending on the color of the grape, whether it was a white wine or a red wine, you place them over it and it changes the color, obviously, because it just magnifies the image on the board. Really neat function. I like that too. That's Viticulture from Stonemaier Games.
So since you brought up Scythe, I just want to ask, is it just a sea of little bits?
Yes, it
this
is.
This game?
Okay. Also, fun fact, when we played Scythe, Devin, do you remember that one of the colors had an extra windmill instead of another house?
Yeah, I do recall that.
I'm wondering if this is a signature of Stonemaier Games, because my blue tokens had an extra windmill and was missing one of the other pieces. So, and it is the same windmill from Scythe, so they recycled that cutout. But I thought that was neat.
That's pretty spooky. That's like right on topic for a Halloween episode.
Yeah, eerily. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I've played it three times now, and I want to play it again. Vanessa liked it a little bit better than Orleans, she said, because it was just a little bit easier to grasp, not as complicated. I'm not sure if I like it more than Orleans as my favorite really heavy game that I own, but it's definitely a contender. I love both games. This one, not the same type of game as Orleans, but just overall, I think this one might edge it out as my favorite game of the year. Spoilers, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I really am enjoying this type of game.
Yeah, I mean, I like worker placement. It definitely sounds like one that I would try out. Mm. I will say that.
I don't know if because, the theme like you is said, up for you, but yeah, it is worker placement. I know you like those.
Yeah, I like a worker placement game, and like Stonemaier, like you said, they do, even though there's thousands upon thousands of pieces, and that sort of burns me out just on cleanup alone. That does sound like something I'd be interested in. But do I need to know about wine? Like you say that the theme might not be along that, but that's always just window dressing for me in a worker placement game.
I mean, no, not at all. I know nothing about winemaking, but other than what I learned from the Mouse That Roared movie. But basically, it's just a really nice, subtle theme. It's nice to see something that's not, kill your opponent all the time. Like, it's a nice theme. It's very serenity? Serene? Is that the word?
Serene.
Serene is probably sounds like what you're looking for.
It's fun. But the reason I say it might not be for you, because I don't know if that's the kind of theme that you would get into, but the mechanics of the game, I know you would probably really like, Devin.
Yeah. It sounds like something I want to play. I'm already thinking things like Lords of Waterdeep. Lords of Waterdeep is what hopped into my head when you talked about the Mama Papa cards.
Yep.
Also, I was trying to think of like a good Mama Papa joke and just, I didn't have one and that upset me a lot, but it's that where like the action in the beginning determines, you know, how you're going to be playing. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like the variety that that adds to a board game.
It adds a ton. Also, the Papa cards, the graphic art that they have on there totally looks like Tom Hiddleston. Don't know why.
Were you the one to notice that? Because that sounds like a Vanessa observation.
I noticed it, and then I showed it to her. I said, who does this look like? And she goes, that looks like Tom Hiddleston. I didn't give her the hint, and she said yes. And then my mother also got to play this game, and she recognized him as Loki, I think. I don't think she knew his name was Tom Hiddleston. But either way, it was very interesting. But yeah, that's Viticulture. Sean, what do you got going on?
So, Zach, guess besides what dropping I've been things. Playing? Besides what?
It sounded dropping like something things. Dropped.
Wasn't me.
Oh, no. That was the dog shaking her collar. She's doing her thing.
I thought no pets were allowed on this podcast.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that in the virtual space, we could not have dogs to pat the head up.
Oh, here, Maisie. Only service dogs.
Of course. But oh my goodness. Just like I've been playing literally every month since we started this podcast, I've played some Jackbox Party Pack. But don't worry, I played other stuff too.
Jackbox Party Pack, Sean?
Okay, so it's on your PC, your PS4, your Xbox One, or your Nintendo Switch. You and a group of friends can totally play games on your phone that are totally awesome.
Totally.
No, but as far as differences, so I've always played the same three or four games over and over and over again because my brother and the rest of my family don't like to expand their horizons. But there are four different Jackbox games, and each one has, I think, six or seven different mini games in them. So I was playing with my friend Keith and his wife Alicia, and a couple of her friends. And I've been playing some games we haven't played lately. So, one of them was I can't remember the name of the game, and this is terrible, but essentially it's kind of like one person is the faker. So like one person is the werewolf, like an ultimate werewolf, and you're trying to figure out who the person is who is faking it. So there are different mini games. So like, oh, you know, raise your hand if you've done this thing. So like, oh, you know, raise your hand if you've ever, you know, cheated on a test. And then everyone who's done it would have to raise their hand, but the faker is trying to pretend like they've done that thing. And you need to figure out who the faker is.
It was you.
And it was, well, actually, it wasn't me any of those times. But there are different games where you have to, like, make a facial expression. So, like, what would you do if somebody farted and it smelled really bad? And then you need to make a face with that. And you need to figure out who is clearly just kind of trying to copy everybody else. So I just play more Jackbox. I mean, it's more dumb fun. Just like, you know, Cards Against Humanity and a lot of other party games that normally when I'm on these episodes, I talk a lot about. It's just dumb fun to, like, just kind of hang out and play with your friends. And I'm glad that I was able to kind of expand the games that I had been playing. There was another one that we played. Once again, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. But it would be like musical tones. So it'd be like, oh, you're on a first date and you hear blank. And you have to pick, like, two different, like, random melodies that would go along with whatever that topic is. And then the person who's voting gets to vote on whatever one they think is the funniest. So it's like, oh, you know, you walk in on a first date and this is what you hear. And then it'll be, you know, like a nice, like, harp melody of, like, a very, like, loving song. And then it ends with a fart. So something, like, silly like that. So
sounds like my 4-year-old would love this game.
So a lot of the games that my family normally plays, like Quiplash and a lot of the more like trivia based ones. So playing kind of more of the dumb ones, just to kind of put it in a certain way, was nice for a change. So that's one of the games I've been playing lately. It's just more Jackbox. Is that's what I play.
I didn't mean to imply that you have the sense of humor of a 4-year-old either.
Your 4-year-old's got a lot of good stuff going on.
Well,
so
totally Evie is obsessed with fart humor, so that's why. It's just
so is everyone
right
else.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean that's where the money is, Zach.
I find it quite funny too, but when you turn every single conversation into a poop or fart joke. And believe me, there is a distinction. that just, it's
yes,
everywhere.
One is gas and one is solid.
All right.
Had you mentioned diarrhea, that's liquid.
I don't think she
and
knows that.
And that's how I learned about the forms of matter.
Welcome to Board with Friends.
Educational.
This is a podcast about poop and all the variations of poop that go along with it.
It is not and never will it be. All right.
So that's... Sean's the faker again.
Yes, we called it out. Figured it
Damn
out.
Damn it. I thought I was so good that time.
So I don't know. Jackbox, when I was stuck in Ohio years ago, as my car broke down, the people I was staying with, they absolutely loved the Jackbox stuff. Not that I had any issue with it, but like I just had never experienced it before. But like that is what we did. We tried to play a game of Munchkin, like Adventure Time Munchkin,
and then it
just turned into Jackbox Party Pack, for days. And I imagine like, and just based on that, these were people that all lived together, right? Like I was an outsider in their home, waiting for my car to get fixed. And I imagine that if you're playing that with a group of people. And you have, like, all the inside jokes and stuff. It is just a great time.
I think that's true of most party games. Like, they just... If you're with people you know, you get those inside jokes. You get those things. And it would be annoying for someone who's outside of them, honestly. Like, that might be my problem with party games most of the time.
Is that you're always, until I hear it from you, by the Jim Blossoms?
Maybe, yeah.
Outside looking in?
Oh my goodness. But I do like, if you have 4 or 5 people together and you have some kind of game console with you, it is just an easy thing just to do to like just pop in and like kind of kill some time with. You just need your phone or a tablet with you and it is a lot of fun. I mean, sometimes like even Cards Against Humanity, like people don't want to like deal out cards and stuff like that or other party games. So it just makes it a little bit easier. So it is, I don't want to talk about it a lot, but it is a great game, and it's a lot of fun.
No, and that's the thing. Like, the reason why you talk about it is that you enjoy it. You continue to play it, and you continue to find joy. And, like, I remember You Don't Know Jack, right? Which is where the Jack from Jackbox comes from, right? It's the titular character.
Which, actually, there is a You Don't Know Jack in one of the packs. There is just a You Don't Know Jack, like, 2016. And it is, like, that same You Don't Know Jack game that was on Xbox 360 and PS3, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. But it is updated. But it's just those types of games. But there are, you know, 20 or 30 of those types of games just, like, all spread out. And it's a good value. I mean, $15 to $25 for each pack. There are four different packs, and each one has six games inside of it. Like, it's a great value. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, no one's knocking it.
Yeah, I'd be willing to try it out sometime at one of our game nights if we can ever get Zach to understand that virtual games are still games.
Does not compute.
No, that can't be out. I mean, I can just take my Switch. I mean, the Jackboxes are on the Switch now. Granted, if we're doing a game night at your house, Devin, like, you have consoles there. But yes, if we're at my house or Zach's house, I can just take my Switch and then they're right there.
I have a console. Or my laptop.
Yeah, you have a PS3.
Yeah, PS3 doesn't count, man. You got to get into this century of gaming.
I got a SNES Classic.
We can talk about that.
You do. We can. I mean, I'll play with that all day long.
I would love to play with that.
Is Jackbox on the Super Nintendo?
It is not, but Mega Man X is.
Yeah, it was. All right. Enough of this. I'm sick of Jackbox. I ban it from the show.
Okay, you get to do that.
Okay, Sean's not on the show.
This just in, Sean Bissonnette, no longer a member of Bored with Friends.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I'm allowed to ban it from the show. He's going to find a way to slip it in again, I know it. All right.
By the way, Ayo. Oh, man. It was right there.
It was. I left it out. All right. So...
How about Drop Mix, Zach?
What about Drop Mix?
So I got to play Drop Mix. Drop Mix is, if anybody remembers, Harmonix. They made Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
And Amplitude.
Amplitude, yes. I couldn't remember the name of that one. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
They're very into those, you know, harmony-type games. Hence their name, I guess. But they teamed up with Hasbro, and they released a game called Drop Mix. I was intrigued by it, but it wasn't until, and I do have to give a shout out to Renaud from Bot Talk. He hooked me up with one of the promo cards that was at all the other PAX conventions except Unplugged, from what I understand. Maybe it'll be at an Unplugged. But either way, he hooked me up with the Transformers promo card, and I said, well, if I got this one card, I'm gonna need the game. So I got the game so I could use this one promo card that played the Transformers theme in Drop Mix.
Which Transformers theme? Was it You Get the Touch?
No, it is the actual Transformers theme, heavily, like, made, like, it's just heavily modified, but it's cool.
So it's not like the White Lion version from the 1986
movie? No, I was really hoping it was, but it is not.
That's the definitive for me.
That is
White Lion's
one of the best.
Take on that theme song is fantastic.
It's so good.
Plus, it's White Lion. I love White Lion.
I believe they were just billed as Lion on the Transformers the Movie soundtrack. Anyway.
They were.
Yes. So
look at you knowing things.
I do. So Drop Mix is a hybrid game. It's not technically a board game, but it is a card game with an electronic element to it. So when you buy the game, you get this big board that lights up, and it pairs to a phone or a tablet. And then from there, you can also pair that phone or tablet into a nice speaker so that you're not just using the dinky little speaker on your device. And what you do is there's a couple different modes of play. The main mode is to basically each person chooses their style of cards. They can do, I think in the box it comes with electronica, metal, hip hop, and I honestly don't remember the last one that it comes with. But you pick two styles of music, you shuffle up your deck, and you draw three cards, and then you take turns placing cards on the electronic board. The cards have what I assume is NFC chips, where the board senses what card you are placing down, and then it adjusts it on the app and mixes the song as you go. So certain cards have certain colors. So there's blue, there's green, there's red, there's yellow, and then there are some that have multiple colors on them and some that have all the colors on them. Those are the wild cards. And as you put them on, the application automatically makes the music like work together. I don't know how it does it, but it does it, and it's really cool because at one point you can have the bass line to, I don't know, I'm Sexy and I Know It, and then you can have the the drum mix from some hip-hop song that name escapes me. You can then put in, you know, the guitar riff from Europe's Final Countdown, and then you can have the lyrics mixed in from Call Me Maybe, and somehow it all works in together and makes this really actually awesome sounding music. But then you can throw in cards that have, there's these white cards that, you know, will do different things. They'll let you draw more cards, or they'll make the other player remove their cards from the table. And the game knows whose cards are whose because you do this thing where it registers what deck belongs to which player. And as cards are removed, they lose points. As they add cards, they gain points. And it's just really cool. You get bonuses if you score the whole track. So if all the cards belong to you, you get a bonus point for that. And I believe it's the first person to 21 points wins. It's really fun. I mean, it's stupid fun, but it is fun. Because there's not a ton of strategy to it, but you're mixing the songs. You kind of have that feeling of you want to hold back some songs, some cards, because you want to make a cool sounding mix. At the same time, you're also playing a game and trying to win. There is a free mix mode, so you can just put down cards and make your own mixes, and then it'll record it for you, which is also kind of neat. And there's a four-player mode so that you play a team. So each person picks one genre of music, and they take turns playing that way. So each player can put down, normally if you were playing one-on-one, you'd put down two cards on your turn. If you're playing two-on-two, you'd each put down one card. Pretty simple. But yeah, as far as game goes, it's a really interesting piece of technology. It's just, my gripes about it are, it is a cash grab for more cards. Because you, just like with Rock Band back in the day, you gotta have more songs, otherwise the game stops being interesting. And so you gotta go out to the store and buy more packs to get more cards, to get more music in there so that you can keep the game fresh. And these things are not cheap. The packs with five cards is, I think it was $4 or $5 at Target. And then you can buy a pack of 16 cards for $15. And those are themed, so you get more genres of music. So, I mean, it is going to be one of those, you're going to sink a lot of money into it. And the initial game is not cheap. It's $100 for this thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you're going to get it as like a family game and people really liked Rock Band, I can say it was pretty fun. But it is an investment. That's just my word of warning on there. Also, the Transformers card is really cool if you can get it. Because it's a wild card and it plays on everything and it just sounds amazing. But that's Drop Mix from Hasbro and Harmonix.
Yeah, the first thing I did when you said there was a Transformers card is I went on YouTube and just listened to the song while you were giving your review of the game.
Oh, you could have looked at my Board with Friends, the Facebook page, or the Twitter channel where I posted a video on both showing that card being used, Sean. I'm just saying.
I think you just listened to the Transformers theme song.
Oh, probably.
I gave you the opportunity to advertise our social media presence. And also now I'm super embarrassed and I'm on our Facebook channel, right? Facebook feed right now, and I'm going to look it up. Sure. But that sounds super, that actually sounds wicked awesome.
It is pretty fun. I recommend you find a friend who already owns it and just play their copy.
Hey Zach, you want to bring over Drop Mix the next time we have a game?
Sure, Devin.
And when I say this, I mean it 1,000% unironically. When I look at this game board, I imagine like a Yu-Gi-Oh battle.
Kind of, yes.
That's, I was surprised like, you didn't think like the little screen
and like the field, and you just like drop the cards down and they do stuff. Like, why? Like, if like someone was on the opposite side of you, it you know it'd be like Battleship, but like with these NFC touch plates, and it's just Yu-Gi-Oh. Like, why isn't that a thing?
I mean, get quite on honestly, that. I can get see that me. Happening. This could be this technology could be utilized in a lot of different ways for some cool themes. So yeah, I can see that happening.
Blue eyes, white dragon.
You've activated my trap card.
You've activated my trap card. Pot of greed. I now get to draw two cards.
I think that's three episodes in a row we brought up Yu-Gi-Oh! Now.
Oh, probably.
Well, it's great. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is one of those shows that is great and is still having new episodes. I don't get it. I've never understood Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I begin and end with Magic the Gathering.
Which, I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Which is far easier than Magic is.
It is, yeah.
It's just, instead of having, like,
which
you know...
Which makes it more boring, I think.
You're not using any mana. It's just... You're not tapping no lands. It's just you got monsters out, and you sacrifice crappy monsters to bring out better monsters.
But and you got to tap the land. No?
Gotta tap.
Maybe.
You gotta tap that.
I shouldn't do that. All right, Devin, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Clean My House. That's the game that we've been playing mostly.
I love that game. I'm so bad at it.
But in the beauty of that is that we had the dining room table down to just table again, which has not been that case for a while. And in that time that we had a dining room table, we got my mother to play a game of Tiny Epic Quest.
Ooh.
So it was myself, Dale, and my mother. We brought Tiny Epic Quest to table again. And that game is great. I love Tiny Epic Quest, and it's still like relatively affordable on Amazon. It's not like $80. Like that one time I considered buying it and was like, yeah, $80 is not worth it. For me, it might be worth it for somebody else. But playing with my mother, I realized I'm really bad at teaching that game. That is my biggest hurdle with Tiny Epic Quest. And also because there were rules that like I just have never gotten to in the book, and then I read it and I'm like, oh wow. That's something.
That's a thing.
Playing it again. Dale is like the secret wunderkind of Tiny Epic Quest because she always wins. Every time that she has played with me, she wins. And I think it's just because like she understands how to diversify in a way that I don't. Also, I will like risk it and go for exhaustion. And you forget how quickly you can become exhausted in that game when it's just you rolling the dice. And oh, look at that. Like I had 6 life points, but I rolled 5 strikes and a magic, which now does damage because, oh, sure. And you lose everything. But Tiny Epic Quest, continue to love it. Continues to be something that I bring with me every single day to work because it is in my work backpack.
Nice. I've played it a couple times since we reviewed it on the show. And it's still hasn't lost its luster. I like the game a lot. I will highly recommend it myself, and I want to keep playing it. I want to play it again. Sean, you haven't gotten to play it, right?
No, I have not. I'm actually looking up right now because I think I played Tiny Epic Galaxies with you and Walt Chad, but I never played actually played Tiny Epic Quest.
You did play Tiny Epic Galaxies, yes. You've played.
We also played Tiny Epic Galaxies at your house once. Your brother.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did. And I'm, yes.
That was my favorite time playing Tiny Epic Galaxies.
Galaxies, yeah. With my brother and my our old roommate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a time.
That's a thing that happened.
Not just the future, but also the past. This week on Board with Friends.
Welcome to Board with Friends.
Oh, you think it was the Doctor Who episode?
Yeah, when's that coming out? Is it out?
Such a painful thing. No, they still haven't released the bloody game.
Because someone posted a photo and was like, "Where's the Doctor when you need him?" And I'm like, "Is this Doctor Who? I think I've played this board game."
You have.
And
not.
Then I scrolled past it.
Still waiting.
No, I think I played the board game that they were playing.
It's been pre-ordered for a year and a half. I'd like it.
That's the problem with pre-order culture.
Oh, so angry. Anyway, Sean, what else have you been playing?
Well, the other thing that I've been playing. So a couple weeks ago, my my brother, my girlfriend, and my brother's girlfriend all played Settlers of Catan. And it was a very interesting game of Catan, because normally when I play, just me personally, I try to build out my road to get the longest road victory card. And then I just buy cards and hope I get victory points and then hope I can win. So I just kind of like do my thing. Like when I play Catan, like I'm not really competing. I'm just like doing my own thing, which is probably not a great thing because I never win. So whatever. But it was my brother's girlfriend, Nicole's first time ever playing the game. She had no idea what she was doing. But the funny thing was that my girlfriend, who's hyper competitive in general, but I never knew the extent of this until I played Settlers of Catan with her. She just arbitrarily decided that my brother was her competition.
Nemesis?
And that he was never going to get anything ever. So anytime anybody ever rolled a 7 ever, it just screwed over Ryan, like, really, really badly, to the point where his girlfriend, Nicole, who had never, ever, 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 ever played anything like Catan ever, almost won, because nobody paid attention to her, because everybody was just focused on screwing my brother over, and I was just, like, doing my thing, just, like, building my roads, and, like, getting my cards, and, like, ooh, I'm having a great time right now. But, I love Catan. That's really all this is. I just love Catan. It's so much fun. The last time I played Catan before this was a drinking game version of it, which got out of hand very, very quickly. So, you know, when we played this, it was basically just, you know, a normal game, except for the fact that Amanda decided to just really screw over my brother, which was funny because Ryan is very good at Catan, generally. But in completely screwing Ryan over, Amanda did win. So I guess that's a thing. So good for her.
Strategy is what it is. Yeah.
It's just like, but like, it was also, she didn't really have any competition because, like I said, when I play Catan, I'm just like doing my thing. So I need to get better pro strats going on in that game. But I just love playing Catan. You know, that's. I don't really have a review here. I just played Catan, and it's awesome. And if anybody who's actually taking the time to listen to this podcast, I'm assuming you already have played Settlers of Catan. If you haven't, then what the heck's the matter with you? Get on top of that. But it's a great game, and I'm actually surprised that the three of us haven't played it.
I have a lot of negative memories tied into Settlers of Catan, so that's probably the reason why. I'm not looking for therapy right now. It was just quite an odd night the first time that I played Settlers of Catan. And then a huge mental block put on, like, what that game was and what it is. And then I started hanging out with you, Yubnubs, and I'm just like, oh, that's that game. Yeah, I didn't like that one time I played it.
Yeah.
I've mostly played it in app form. I have a copy of it. I think we've busted it out once. But, yeah, I like Catan. It's fine. It's a good entry-level game. It's one of my... One of the ones I like more, but because it's got a lot of luck in it, it's difficult to, if you get hosed by the dice and by your placement for settlements, like if you don't know what you're doing or what makes sense to do, it can kind of suck for people. Like my sister, one of her friends played it with one time and all she got was sheep, like literally just nothing but sheep. And it's been an ongoing joke in the family whenever we play games, like, hey, you know, Aaron, watch out for all those sheep, like, you know, whenever we see her, and she despises Catan because of that experience. So a bad set of dice rolls could really, you know, sour somebody to that game, just like any other luck game with that much luck in it. But I've enjoyed it. Vanessa kicks my butt frequently with it in the app. We haven't played it in a while. Every once in a while I see her playing it, but I don't know, it's one of those games, if somebody's got it, I'll play it with them. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, then we should all do that sometime.
Yeah, I would be willing to play Catan again with you guys. Like, I'll put that right on the table. Let's add that to our list of things that happen in the future, is all of us playing a game of Catan.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. In the past, boom, that you'll hear in the future, because we're recording this and...
Boom.
I can see the future.
Yay! All right, so last up for me for games. I have not played the actual physical board game version of this, but I did play the app version of it, and that is Potion Explosion. I downloaded this because my oldest daughter, Lily, has taken an interest. She has decided she wants to be a scientist when she grows up, which is great. And she asked me if I had any science games, and I don't. But I knew of this game, and it's not really science, but the theme is science, mad science more. But it was really fun. Yes. So the way Potion Explosion works is you're trying to make potion recipes, and you have these, in the app version of it, you have these beakers that tell you what types of, ingredients you need to complete your potions. They could be the yellow star, they could be the green moon, they could be red fire and blue water. I think it's just the four colors. And you have this rack of these little colored balls that represent those ingredients. And as you, on your turn, you can take one ball off each of these racks. There's four, I think, with all the balls, you know, coming down the chute. And you can take one ball from that chute. And that's it. But if, when you take that one ball, two balls of the same color were to collide, it causes an explosion, and you get those. So if after you take those two more balls of the same color were to collide, you take all of those that color. So you can cause a chain reaction just by taking that one ball, which is pretty cool. Once you get enough ingredients to complete a potion, the potions are then able to be used by you to get more ingredients. The different potions do different things. Like, one of the potions lets you take one color ball out of the rack without causing an explosion. And you can do this before or after your main action. So it's really interesting, like, how you have to combo up these potions, and because you can use multiple ones in a turn, just to cause the most, you know, effective explosion that gets you is the most ingredients possible to complete your potions. And different potions are more complicated. They give you more points. You know, the more complicated the potion, and you end the game by getting achievements by either getting multiples of the same potion or a variety of different potions. And then you add up your points, and the most points wins. I've played this with my 4-year-old, who doesn't quite get it, but she loves it because things explode. I've played this with Lily, my 7-year-old, and she's starting to get the hang of it. I've played it with Vanessa. She really likes it, and I've played it solo. It's a really cool app. You know, the animation's great. The challenge of the game and finding the different combinations is really fun. I like it a lot. That's Potion Explosion. I definitely recommend it. Check it out.
From Bam Presto Games.
Yes. Thank you.
No, that sounds like fun. All I can think of is Bust a Move when you talk about colored balls and colliding. But it does sound like fun. It reminds me of Rocky Road. That's a game that we played, right?
The ice cream truck game? Rocky Road, yeah. Mode? Okay.
Yes. Just in like the fact that the victory conditions are, you know, either make multiples of something or have a diversity. Like, I don't know. It sounds like fun. It sounds like something that I would actually like to play, to be completely honest with you. But you said you have the app version, right?
I have the app version, yes. After playing the app version, I don't know if I would invest in the full game, just because I've played it so much as an app, and I might not necessarily want the full game for myself, but I would like to try the full game. It's one of those games that if it was available to me to play, I would absolutely sit down and do it, because the tactile feel of picking up and causing the explosions sounds like a lot of fun. There's also some expansions for it that add more elements, more ingredients, and more potion combinations. So, yeah, it's going to have some legs to it. So I like this game a lot.
Cool. cool, cool. Nice. Cool.
I'm actually on the Google Play site for it. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like the similarities to Bust a Move, it looks cool. I'll just leave it at that. I'm sorry, because I didn't have anything
Bust
better
a move
to say.
Is not cool.
I'm sorry. No, Bust a Move is awesome. I love Bust a Move.
Devin Decker killing awesome. Conversations.
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, like, like you get like real defensive about Bust a Move, and I'm like, I don't know where to go from here.
I'm like, oh man, I have to say something. I'm like, it looks neat. Like, oh god, I should have something way better to say than it looks neat, but it does look neat.
I like finding optimum strategy. Like games like I've talked about with Viticulture, with Potion Explosion, even Drop Mix to a smaller degree, finding like the optimum combination to maximize points or maximize payout is really fun to me. And Potion Explosion does it in a very quick form, and the app, you know, takes care of everything. Like I imagine the setup on the actual game is probably lengthy because of the amount of stuff. You mentioned, Devin, that, you know, Stonemaier Games has a lot of stuff to pick up and put away and to put out. This, having this in app form to me, is probably the most ideal way to play this game, which is why I'm not super jazzed about going out and buying the physical copy, but I would like to play it. I don't want to clean it up. But yeah, this game tickles that, you know, that fun sense of, you know, coming up with a cool combination. Like sometimes I don't even look for the ingredients that I need. I look for what's going to make the biggest explosion. And that, you know, that's fun to do in this app. I like it.
Respect your abilities and your desires to create large explosions.
Mm. Hopefully the government's not listening. All right. So normally at this point, we would cut away to a rules breakdown of our review game, but we're not going to do that because we're not reviewing a big game. We just
breaking
reviewed a
law,
whole bunch of other ones and Jackbox Party again. So let's transition over to some news. The first bit of news is about we are going to go to our first... Well, not the first convention we've gone to, but the first one that we've gone to, a major convention, and for more than one day. We're going to be at PAX Unplugged. Devin and I and friends of the show, TJ and Kate, probably?
Dale will also definitely be there.
And Dale will be there,
yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Devin's pretty much taking care of all the arrangements, which is my ideal way to do vacations. I don't have to do anything. But yeah, PAX Unplugged. It's going to be end of November. We'll be there playing games. We got really cool t-shirts. I'm putting that in quotation marks there. But they are Bored with Friend t-shirts. We're not selling them. We're not giving them away. But we got our own t-shirts just so you people can find us. I couldn't make that many to give away. Maybe I'll get some more. I'm not sure. You guys all got them. Do you guys like your t-shirts? Oh, Devin, not even giving you yours yet. But Sean, you
no,
like
I
yours?
Haven't gotten my t-shirt yet. Otherwise, I'd be wearing it right now.
I'm wearing mine right now. I really am. I dressed up for the show.
I knew you would. I love you. That's what this episode boils down to. Devin loves Zach.
I was so excited for this. I'm like, look, we've been a podcast for almost 2 years now. We need t-shirts. That's what podcasts do, right? We should go get t-shirts.
Smart. It's smart that you did it. It's smart that you didn't prematurely do it. Because like I bought t-shirts at the 6 month mark, and that podcast doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but now it's a rare commodity, right? It's worth something.
Yeah, exactly that.
It's worth something to your soul.
Didn't you tell me that you were gonna take the old t-shirt and like cut it open so that Bored with Friends was bursting through it or something?
That there was that's probably what I'm going to do, to be completely honest with you. Cause like I understand why you got white shirts. White shirts are super affordable. But, like, I don't wear a white shirt.
No, it's not very Devin Decker of you.
I wear colors. Say, like, black and gray are the shirts that sell a lot of because they are neutral color, number one. And then number two, the folks of... I mean, nobody looks good in a white shirt except for jacked people.
Well, like the Jackbox Party Pack.
Well, now I feel silly. Thanks a lot, Sean.
That being said, I love the shirt, Zach.
I mean, Vin Diesel looks good in a white shirt because he's jacked. He's not wrong. It was the perfect thing. I'm only comfortable saying that about Vin Diesel because Fast and Furious was on the TV when I stopped playing Super Mario Odyssey, and I'm like, oh yeah, this movie's awesome. Look how jacked Vin Diesel is right now.
I'll openly admit I also picked the white shirt because I couldn't figure out how to change the shirt color on the website that I ordered from.
That's okay. That's actually not okay with me.
I don't know if I could either way, but I didn't see an option to change the shirt color. Otherwise, I would have picked another color. I might have gone with a blue or something like that. But yeah.
So in the future then, you know, you have resources.
These are the beta testing shirts, okay? These are the first ones, and we're going to get to wear them at a convention, sort of.
We're definitely going to get to wear them at a convention.
What do you mean, sort of? Are you guys going to not wear the t-shirt? That's the only way that sort of would work out.
Well, I mean, we're not going to get to wear them every single day.
Why not? Just have on, I'm going to totally rock it, 90s grunge look. That's going to be how I pull it off.
We want that complete convention feel where we smell by the end of it. Is that it? Like,
no, you're doing it wrong. No, I'm going to have it as my inner shirt, and then I'm going to have different overshirts.
Oh, there you go.
So people will be like, oh, okay.
So you'll subdue the smell with the overshirts?
Yeah, the overshirt covers up the armpit area, which is where the stank glands are located.
Oh, is that why? I
was like, weren't we in chemistry class together?
I've been putting the deodorant in the wrong spot. All right.
Yes, you clearly have, but it's all right.
So PAX Unplugged, it's a couple of days of just nothing but gaming. Super looking forward to this. I know, Devin, this is probably your nightmare, so I don't know why you arranged it, but
you're my friend and I care about you and I want to make sure you get to do things that you enjoy.
I
love Philadelphia. Like, do not get me wrong.
Oh yeah, I know you've been there a lot.
When we are not at the convention, I'm going to show you Devin Decker's Philadelphia, which is very similar to Tom Hanks' Philadelphia, but with less, AIDS. Pressing AIDS.
Is it like the Philadelphia Experiment?
No, it's not like the Philadelphia Experiment, but
good,
solid.
I don't want to go through that. Where's the clutch? Dude. Anyway, that was for my father. So, not that he listens.
And I'm sure he appreciated it.
Anyway.
Are you sure he doesn't listen?
I don't think he does. My mother does. She'll get the reference, too. So, PAX Unplugged. I can't wait to bring stacks of games that I never get to play. I just keep updating my list of all the stuff I want to do there. And I don't know if we're going to get to do any of it.
The exhibitor list went online last night. I got an email about it this morning.
Oh, I wish you had said that before we started recording.
You should take a look at that. But also, I would like a list of the games that you intend to bring. Because TJ was asking me what games do we want to play while we're there. And we should probably make sure that we don't have multiple copies of anything.
He's definitely going to bring Scythe. Because I want to play that again. No?
I asked him to bring Terraforming Mars.
Oh, I'd like to play that one too. Oh, did he get a new copy?
I don't know if he got a new copy or not yet, but it is one that I was excited to get the chance to play that game before Winegate. So
yeah, to find out what happened to TJ's copy of Terraforming Mars, please refer to episode 29.
I think it was 9. Yeah, something
whatever
like
the
that.
Episode where we reviewed Tanny Epic Quest was. No, I definitely want to introduce you guys to Blood Rage. That is on my list. I could totally bring Viticulture, and I kind of want to bring all the Tiny Epic games I have so we could have a marathon of that.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. But if you could just compile something for me and actually, yeah, just so that I can know so I can do it. I told him to bring Terraforming Mars. He wants to also bring, I think it's Carcassonne. Is that he said? I don't know. I don't know the names of games.
Oh, I know Carcassonne. You,
He had mentioned a couple, but the one that I was really excited to play because I knew that you would actually enjoy it and be interested in it was Terraforming Mars.
I'm giddy to try that game.
Yeah. And I'm giddy to, like, actually get to play it after watching a bunch of Let's Plays where I'm like, I don't think they even know how to play this game.
Also, despite the theme, I would humbly request that we don't spill wine on viticulture.
That's fine. Okay. That's completely
fine. As long
as
we're cool with that. All right.
Yeah, like, we're going to make sure, like, the hotel that I currently have booked will have plenty of space to play games and drink in the same room.
Fantastic. I'm hoping that I get to meet, I want to meet people. I want to, you know, just see, I don't know what the vendor list is because I haven't looked at it yet, but I just want to, you know, meet listeners and, you know, get to play with people and play games that I normally don't get to try. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you're a listener and you are going to PAX Unplugged, definitely drop us a line on Twitter at Bored with Friend so that we know that you're going to be there and we know to be on the lookout.
I'm trying to arrange with someone. Excuse me. I'm trying to arrange with someone to get some stickers made, some cool vinyl stickers with our logo so we can hand those out. That'll be a lot of fun. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm working on it. Just to have something to give out, you know, which, because I think that's what podcasts do that have been around for 2 years too, right? They have swag.
Yeah, you gotta have a little bit of swag.
We're working on this legitimacy, all right, folks? Give it over it. All right. But PAX Unplugged, yeah, I'm stoked. It didn't feel like a reality when we first decided we were gonna go back in, you know, April or March or whatever it was. But now it's feeling real because it's so close.
And the tickets came yesterday, so, like,
yeah,
it should definitely feel real, because it felt real when that happened.
Sean's not going. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, I honestly didn't even know that. Yeah, I'm going to be in Disney World. But I also didn't know that there was a PAX in Philly. So is this the first year they've done that?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that it's a first year PAX. So I'm excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, because I'm definitely going to go to PAX East next year. I mean, I go to PAX East every year. Just generally, I go to PAX East every year in Boston, which is, you know, right next to us. But it's like, this is like PAX East. Like, it's like, hey, there's PAX East and then PAX East, more or less. And that's what this seems like it is. So that's cool.
Well, it's also only board games. It's PAX Unplugged.
Oh, so that's what the Unplugged means then. Okay. That's even cooler. I had no idea it was only tabletop stuff.
Yeah, because honestly, the tabletop stuff at PAX East, I never truly understood. I don't understand a lot of things about PAX East the two times that I've gone. Like, I left with questions. But again, a convention is you make it however whatever you want it to be. So, like,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to, like, judge people and how they convene.
I mean, for PAX East, for the tabletop stuff, it's essentially there is the floor where there's all the video game stuff, but it admittedly is like 60-70% video game stuff. And then for all the board game and the tabletop kind of things, there is like this big area where back in the day, that's where you used to queue up to go into the just onto the show floor, but now there's just a bunch of tables and booths set up over there for tabletop stuff. But it is much smaller than the rest of the floor, for sure.
I think what ended up happening was they noticed the popularity growing and growing of the tabletop section there, and so they're trying out their own convention for it, which is great.
No, that's awesome. I mean, granted, I'm in Florida anyways, but if I wasn't in Florida, I would be 1,000% down to go. So next year we should plan this out more better.
This could be our show's convention.
You had already had that. You already had that booked when we were trying to get this going. Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's my 30th birthday, so like at the beginning of the year, it was my parents wanted to go to Disney because that's our. Even though I'm 30 years old, that's our family vacation every single year, the six of us, and now. That we're all engaged in serious girlfriend up. Now it's all of them. So it's a big old Bissonette family thingamajig going on.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. But yes, we'll definitely, if this is a success for PAX, I would love it if this became our convention.
No, and absolutely.
We even went further and further as time goes on.
Mm.
I mean, at some point we're gonna be the ones hosting panels. Hey, what's going on? This is Board with Friends. How
probably
you guys doing?
Not.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Not with that attitude, Zach.
Well, you know what, Zach, you know what? We're gonna be the most popular Rhode Island podcast because who in Rhode Island does things?
Yes.
Yeah, the premier like Rhode Island podcast.
I will say there is a convention coming up within the next year that we will be hosting a panel at.
Oh, that's exciting news.
I don't know if it's Bored with Friends that's hosting this show, but there is a convention that we have been voluntold for that we will be involved in.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is this really happening? This is how I find out?
Yeah. It's going to be the Cumberland Public Library Comic Con.
Oh, come on.
No, it's going to be awesome.
With your mom and my grandfather as the MCs. It's going to be great.
I'm pretty sure my mother will whoop your butt for that.
No. I said your mom and my grandpa because they both work at the library.
Oh, that's true.
My papa does the accounting stuff, even though he's an electrical engineer, because that's how that works.
That's amazing.
That's Rhode Island.
That's Rhode Island.
We just talked about that, right? He was in the military and then was an electrical engineer, but he could do the taxes for the library because reasons.
No, but seriously, my mother is, she runs the Cumberland Public Library. They are getting together a Comic-Con. Other libraries have successfully done it. She's really interested in doing it. It's for, I believe, September of next year. She invited us and the Fan Holes podcast to whatever degree they could be there for it. I am going to be running the game room there for board games. That's what I was actually voluntold for. I didn't really have a choice, and honestly, I don't mind.
As a general statement, obviously, whatever we can do to help volunteer and stuff is absolutely in for. That's. But I was like really nervous for a second. We were like, oh, we're going to be hosting a panel. I was like, where the heck are we hosting a panel? Like, who wants to hear us say anything about absolutely anything?
I wanted to get a genuine reaction.
Besides the like couple hundred people that might listen to this. Like, what is happening?
No, but this is relevant. But she did ask if we could do a panel of sorts. So not sure what it's going to be exactly. I've already asked Mike from the Fan Holes podcast if he was interested. He is. He's talking to the rest of the Fan Holes, and we got a year to plan it. But anybody in the New England area, close to the Rhode Island area, if you want to go, well, you got plenty of time to plan for it to get there in September. I have the exact date.
In Lincoln.
We're going to talk more about it.
I love that Marriott in Lincoln, though. All right, let's not cast aspersions on that Lincoln Marriott.
Oh, goodness me. I'm sorry to interrupt, Zach. Continue.
It's
I apologize.
Okay. It's very much in its early stages right now. So there's not much to tell what's going to happen right now other than she's managed to make her son run a game room, and there's going to be lots of fun stuff. I mean, they always have good events at the Cumberland Library. I'm not just saying that because it's my mother and your pop. There's been some really fun stuff there. And I encourage anybody in the Rhode Island area who's in our listeners, it's going to be a good time. So keep listening. We'll give more information as I get it. And you could come to that too.
Yeah. I mean, for all we know, one of our newer projects could be a thing that is a thing there. It's wink, wink, nudge,
bump,
nudge.
Bump, bump.
What newer projects could you be referring to? Oh, boy.
I don't know, but this is a good time to segue unless you have more news.
No, that was it for conventions.
Oh, cool. All right, fantastic.
That was fun. Thanks for letting me spring that on you guys. That was fun.
No, I'm down. Like, I'm down to volunteer for whatever it is that... anything for my hometown, which I am super in love with, 1000%. I'll do whatever they need.
Oh, but yeah. So we are. I guess this is the best time to do it. We are starting an umbrella network you could call it. We're gonna introduce some more shows. So as much as I love board games, and as much as Sean likes board games, and as like Ayo. Devin likes to point out that he hates board games but plays them, we've decided, and also in, I think this stems from the 40% off topic of our show, we want to talk about other things too, and, you know, try some new stuff. So we've started to develop some new shows that we can, you know, get the creative juices going in. So that's what we wanted to announce. There's going to be some new shows starting in January under a umbrella network. Bored with Friends is still going to go on. We're still going to review games. We're still going to do everything that Bored with Friends has been doing. But the umbrella network, I believe we have settled on the name, or I have, and Sean likes it, and Devin no longer gets a say in it. All the nerdy.
My right.
All the nerdy fun.
Magic beans.
All the nerdy fun.
All the nerdy fun.
Which is a callback to the terrible opening phrase that I used to use when we first started this nonsense. Because
even when we first started, don't we still say it? I feel like we still say it, nor do I imagine it.
I have not said it in like 25 episodes, maybe more.
Hold on. So when we do our soft open, where I go, "Hi, I'm Zach Dyer," and like I say like all the nerdy fun that goes with it, like that's not actually. Oh man, I blanked that out every time, I guess. That's really embarrassing that I'm saying it out loud.
You have probably said it more times than I have, Sean.
That's what I was going to say. I was doing the calculations to see just how many more times he said it than you.
I say it all the... No, like, all right, so people who aren't listening. So before we actually record the podcast, and you know, if I can be so bold, that like what kind of brought up the idea of making other shows... Before we record Bored with Friends, we talk, whether it's in person or on Skype or you know, whatever. We kind of BS for about a half an hour before we start talking. At so it's like, oh man, how come this isn't a podcast? So that kind of sprouted the idea of some of these other shows and other ideas that we want to kind of do. But before we start doing our normal kind of banter to warm up to do Bored with Friends, I always do Zach's intro sarcastically, and I always say and all the nerdy fun that goes with it, and that's not even part of the intro anymore, and I've never noticed it, and that's really embarrassing.
Yeah, because it proves that you don't actually listen to the show.
No, but I listen to the things that I'm listening to. Like, I'm here on Skype with you, and an hour ago you did not say it, but I thought I if you... Never mind. I'm an idiot. And it's not that I don't listen. I don't listen to the ones I'm on because I don't like to listen to myself.
That's true.
The ones I'm not on.
I don't
and
take
the problem
offense.
Is that we've been on a lot of them lately, Sean. So like...
No, I know. So, no. But like I yeah, fair enough, Devin. So I guess I haven't consistently listened lately. But I would still swear to God that an hour ago Zach said and all the nerdy fun that goes with it.
And that's because an hour ago you said it, and you tricked your brain.
Let's be fair. In 1 hour and 47 minutes ago, I said it because I'm looking at the Skype timer right now. Oh my goodness, that's so crazy. My mind is blown right now. Zach, back to the news that we're doing right now. I'm sorry.
So the new network's going to be called And All the Nerdy Fun. .. And it's going to include, at least from the start, two new shows. The first one is going to be called Bored with Friends. Yeah.
I hate homonyms.
Oh! I love homonyms.
We're going to reverse...
I'm very excited about this.
We're going to reverse the pun and go back to B-O-R-E-D with Friends. And this is going to be a show... I mean, you've heard us all talk about the stuff that we like outside of board games, the themes that we want in games. I've mentioned my love of Doctor Who and Transformers and, you know, other franchises that I really dig. Sean's brought up, you know, all the things that he likes. And Devin, you know, you talk about video games and things like that. This is going to be our show where we get to talk about that other stuff. So if you like hearing from us and you want to hear more about the things that we like and we've mentioned, this is going to be your chance. The idea behind the show is one of us will get to pick something that we really like, and we get to kind of force the others to experience it, whether they want to or not. And then we're going to get to discuss that topic. It's more recent things that other people can get a hold of. We'll have recommendations in it. I'm really excited for this show. Not just because it's my idea, but also because we get to talk about, mainly because we get to talk about other things. I love board games. I really, truly do. And I'm not giving up on Board with Friends. But now we get to be bored with friends. Then our second show that we are looking to launch is, Sean, you can describe this one because I know you love to say this title.
Well, no, so before I get to that with the Board of Friends thing, the way that I thought of it in my mind is kind of like a book club. So, like, we're a group of friends that get together, and we want to get one another interested in the things that we like to talk about. So it'll be all of us kind of in it, Zach loves stuff that Devin and I don't necessarily care about, and it goes all the way around in that same circle. So it's just getting all of us to talk about. Yeah, fair enough. But it's getting all of us to introduce, to kind of like get out of our comfort zone and get into the things that we all love as individuals. But anywho, the show that I want to go to, it was Nerds Debate. So Nerds Space Debate, or you can be profane if you want to. But basically, it's going to be kind of like a this versus that kind of a show. So you know, Nintendo versus Sega, you know, Jedi versus Sith, you know, so these sorts of things where the things that nerds talk about and argue about on the internet for no reason. So we'll all kind of rotate different topics around and talk about different things, and we'll take sides. So the exact structure of the show I haven't super nailed down yet. But we'll be talking about different, it'll be ideally a bi-weekly show where we'll all debate a subject, you know, kind of this versus that kind of a thing. So, you know, Marvel versus DC, the things I had just mentioned before.
Sorry.
Marvel. And bi-weekly, meaning every 2 weeks, not twice a week.
Sorry. yes, twice a month. Twice a month. You're right. I'm sorry, Devin.
So kind of like our text conversation earlier today, it'll be Mario versus Luigi, you know?
Yeah. The sort of things that folks debate about within nerd culture, mostly. So however we decided to do that. So we haven't really talked about it all that much yet. Ideally, let's say it's the three of us. Like, is someone going to be a moderator and each person takes a side, or are we all just going to talk about this stuff openly and just give the information to you guys as the audience? So there's still a couple things to hammer out, but that is the idea of the show, is there is one side versus another side, and which side is better. So how we get there, we'll figure out in the next couple of weeks, but I'm really excited to host the show, because I do like board games a lot, but I'm not as into the news and the Kickstarters and all that stuff as much as Zach is. And even though Devin pretends he doesn't like board games, he still keeps up with that stuff with Zach all the time. So, you know, sometimes in these episodes, I feel like I'm just filling time. So this is stuff that I'm super passionate about. So I'm super excited to share that with you guys. So I just got to hammer out some of the details and we'll go from there. But I'm psyched.
I'm curious, Sean.
Yeah.
How many of these episodes you're going to be able to cram Jackbox Party into?
Well, let me tell you something right now, Zach.
No, you don't have to. You'll get to talk about things he actually cares about.
No. And that's shitty, because I do care about board games, but it's like I have the half a dozen or so games that I play with my family, and that's just what I play. So, like, every time we do it, it's like, oh, I played Dead or Winter again. It's like, yeah, because I played Dead of Winter twice a month. Like, of course I played that Dead of Winter, or I played Jackbox, or I played Catan. you know, or I played Sentinels in the Multiverse. Like, of course I played those same five games because that's all my family ever plays. So it's I'm glad that with these other shows, it's going to give more of us opportunities and our other friends who don't necessarily do these Board with Friends with us opportunities to, you know, share stuff with people. So I'm very excited about that.
That's my big excitement, that we're going to get to bring in more people. Not necessarily people who want to talk about board games. We'll be able to get some friends who, you know, normally we talk about them, we've mentioned them maybe, but, you know, now they get to join in and, you know, discuss other things that, you know, they are passionate about. So that's exciting. We also, this is more on Sean. I don't know how he's convinced me to do this. I'm pretty sure he bribed me or threatened me, but
it was a delightful mixture of both.
It was,
actually,
yeah. It was like
he, as I followed along,
he handed me a beautiful cup of coffee with a gun pointed at me. At the same time, it was weird, but I drank the coffee. It was delicious. We are going to attempt an RPG.
Yeah. So.
Which is
so as far as that goes,
game.
Yes.
So,
not my favorite thing, but we're gonna try it.
a combination of things. So, Board with Friends, both of them, along with I'm a huge fan of Critical Role and the Adventure Zone podcast. So my whether it's my first or my second board BORED Friends with episode will be me being a DM in a Dungeons and Dragons game, because it's something that my brother and his friends and I, to a lesser extent, have been, you know, playing for a little while for fun. And like I said, the Adventure Zone, Critical Role, some other folks on the internet that are huge inspirations for that kind of thing. So I feel like it's a huge opportunity for us to be creative and funny and kind of take those things that we do on this show and the other shows that we want to do and just expand on that. So for my board BORED with friends, my either first or second month will be like an episode zero kind of a thing. We're going to play, I'm going to write a really basic Dungeons and Dragons kind of like intro part of a campaign, and assuming we have fun with it, which I'm pretty sure we will, that will be another show that we do, which will be, I don't know if it'll be once a month or twice a month, but it'll be another thing that we do to kind of fill in the parts of the hobby gaming that we don't touch upon, which is the role-playing kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super, super excited. I have a lot of ideas, and you know, it'll be the three of us and Zach and I, our friend Joe, who I went to college with, who was one of my roommates in college. It'll be the four of us and you know, maybe, you know, one or two other folks, depending on how that goes. But I'm super, super, super excited for that. And because that'll be something that I know I'm very quiet in these types of RPGs, but like I'm super excited to write something and be creative and kind of take this whole sort of thing to another level. So I'm super psyched for that. So I'm gonna stop rambling, but that's that.
I'm now even more excited than I have been via all the texts that we've been doing, because that passion is just dripping in every word that comes out of your mouth regarding this, Sean.
Like, I'm not super good at writing, but, like, I can improv stuff. So, like, if I can write, like, the basic idea of a scene, because, like, I don't want to railroad us when we do this. It's going to be, I'm going to have a very vague idea. Like, you guys are in a bar, you know, and this person says this to you, and this is the situation going on, and how are we going to resolve that? And I know that's a very basic thing, but I already have an idea for an overarching campaign that could last. You know, like when I listened to the Adventure Zone, for example, like their first full campaign that I just had you start listening to, Zach, that 69 episode stretch takes them 3 years to do. Granted, I want to move more quickly than that because I'm not that good at writing stuff. But like it's something that could take us, you know, if we meet up once or twice a month to do this thing and we get those two episodes out a month, like, this could be a thing that, like, could go for a year of once we start doing it, if this is a really in-depth, like, exciting thing. And then if we have fun with it, then, like, ideally, like, we do my campaign, and then, you know, when we're done with my Devin takes over, or you take over, or Joe takes over, and it's just a thing that just builds and builds and builds. So that's what I want to go for. So we'll see how it goes when we do our tutorial game. But I'm pretty confident that you guys are gonna have fun with it, and that we're gonna make a show out of it. It'll either be called Critical Failure, because for some god awful reason that hasn't been taken yet, or Roll with Friends, just to go with the theme that we have message. Going on. Yeah, the on brand thing. The only thing, you know, we'll have Nerds Debate and then the Three with Friends shows. So we'll see how all that shakes out. But yeah, that's I'm super excited, and it's gonna be a great time.
Well, I've expressed before in the past, I did not have a fun experience my first time playing an RPG.
Yeah.
But the amount of debate that we've had going on so far and discussions about it, I am excited to try this again. I think it's about time. So, yeah, I am looking forward to this. It started off kicking and screaming, but I am starting to look forward to it. Plus, you are, as I said, not trying to entice me into playing by patronizing the heck out of me. So, you know, because I don't know what your theme is going to be. The first time someone tried to get me to play this, they did a Transformers campaign. And I really enjoy character creation. I will fully admit that. That was probably the most fun I had in the whole idea. So I'm looking really forward to doing that. And I'm hoping it can be an interesting game. And hopefully our listeners will enjoy experiencing it with us. Because we're basically all starting this from scratch. I don't know if you've ever played an RPG. Have you, Devin?
I have played Dungeons & Dragons exactly two times in my life. And the first time it was an enjoyable time, but I was sitting in for a guy named Steve, and it was awkward because another Devin was present.
Sounds awful. But I enjoyed it.
So that was an interesting time, I'm not going to lie. And then the second time, I was banned from playing Dungeons & Dragons with those people ever again, because I ate a player character when they were killed by a dragon.
Yeah, well. What? I don't even have a thing to say about that. Were you a cannibal? Was that part of your thing?
It was totally within my thing. I was weak. Like, the whole thing about my character was that I was weak from hunger, and this guy got burned to death by a dragon, and I'm like, look, my guy is starving. My character is starving right now.
My goodness. No.
I'm not going to let that meat go to waste. I'm going to eat the, you know, extra crispy remains of our former member. And they were like, what?
I really thought you
ate his miniature.
No. I'm not an insane
person. That was my first thought, but then I was like, no, he means like he ate the dude, like the dead guy. He ate the dead guy. Like But all I'm going to say is, when we do this, I'm not a writer, so be gentle, because like I don't know how well I'm gonna weave this, like when I listen
story for the generation.
Yeah, like I don't think I'm gonna write like an immersive story. Like, I'm just gonna write a thing and it's gonna be silly and we're gonna have fun doing it, but like it's not gonna be like when I listen, and Zach, I know you're only on episode 3, but like when I listen to like the when you get to like the end of the Adventure Zone, like it's like emotional, and like you like feel for like these people, and like it's written like super well, and like I can't write, so that's not gonna be a thing. It's just gonna be dumb and fun.
Right. I want it to be dumb and fun. I just don't want to be persecuted if in a game where my character is dying.
What I'm gonna say is, if Zach dies and he's rolling his die to see if he's legitimately dead or not, don't fucking eat him. Oh, I'm sorry.
Of course not. No.
I'm sorry, Zach. I swore. Please bleep that out. That's your one edit point for the night. I apologize. If Zach's rolling,
trying
to see if
to go
he's alive,
with no edits tonight.
Please do not eat him. I'm sorry, Zach. Time code. Hold on. Here we go. Okay, good. I'm sorry. I'm super sorry. But yeah, if someone's rolling to see if they're really dead, don't eat them. That's my only request. You can make that part of your backstory. You ate a guy once. Make that part of your backstory. I don't care.
That's cool. I mean, that's fun. I before we go like whole hog into this, I want you to know that I have some experience with Dungeons and Dragons. I was banned from the group.
I think that Joe is the only one with zero experience. And it'll be because I remember I've only ever actually sat down and played a few times, and the first time I sat down and played, I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll make a dude. That'll take like 20 minutes. It took me like 2.5 hours to make a guy because I had never read any of the books or done any of the stuff. So before we actually sit down and do our campaign, I want the four of us to meet up in a Skype chat or in real life and hammer out exactly what we want to do, or the three of you guys want to do. So that way your characters are all set for when we sit down and play. Because it's fun, but it's tedious. And I was using an app to help me, but like I still messed up like making like all my like proficiencies and stuff and all my specific stats because I didn't know what I was doing. But we got to make sure we get everything good to go before we play. But yeah, I'm really really excited, and it should be a really good time.
It's gonna be fun.
Plus, I like doing character voices. I like doing voices, and I'm gonna have so many voices to do because I'm gonna be everybody except for the three of you.
No one's gonna know who's talking. It's gonna be great.
I have so many voices, and like I was saying, like I have two pieces of the larger campaign in my brain as concepts. I just need to hammer out exactly what they'll be, and I also have an idea for the tutorial. So ideally, the characters you make in the tutorial will be who we are in the larger campaign. But if you don't like your class, then I'll write around that. But I'm super psyched. I'm really excited to do this before the end of the year, so we can get all of these new shows going, you know, in January or February or whenever we want to get them all going.
They'll all be launching right at the beginning of the year. Maybe not the RPG, but. Board with Friends should be ready. Well, I mean, and Nerds Debate, I assume, will have.
Oh yeah, we could like hammer. Honestly, like if the three of us hung out for like a while and didn't, if three or four of us got together and didn't play a game for a night and just all hung out, we could hammer out a. We could hammer out a few of them.
blasphemy.
Tim Allen. But we can hammer out a few of them. So we'll figure all that out. But we got a lot of stuff coming in the next couple months, guys and gals out there. So
it's gonna be
get
fun.
Excited. Yeah, for sure.
All right, I think we're gonna end it there.
Okay.
Are we gonna?
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's anticlimactic.
That wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to email us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend. Like us on Facebook, or check out our website, boardwithfriends.blogspot.com. If you enjoyed this show, check out some other podcasts like The Say Report, The Local Multiplayer Podcast, or The Fan Holes Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.
All right, now I'm recording.
Welcome to Board with Friends, a podcast all about the things that are the stuff.
The things.
Why don't
the
you
stuff?
Turn that powerful perception on yourself, Dr. Lecter?
Was that George W?
It's my Clarice Starling.
Oh, all right.
Turn that powerful perception on yourself, Dr. Lecter.
It sounds like a bad impression of George.
Like you're just a. I feel like it's maybe not George Bush, but like he's definitely a senator from somewhere down south.
Okay.
I mean, that happens in Signs of the Lambs, right? She's all like, turn that powerful perception on yourself, Dr. Lecter.
Oh, so you know what? That time
now I hear it. Now it was George.
No, that time it was George Bush. 100%.
You just got to give the thumbs up when you do it,
Dr. Lecter.
I heard the thumbs up. There it is. It's perfect.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard it all. Good Lord, baby Jesus.
Taco Drew.
All right. We good?
We're real good.
We're done with this bit. This bit done.
The bit's done.
You need to use that as a voice of a character in the D&D campaign.
Well, I was about to say, so all of you guys have to come up with character voices.
Of course.
Because
I thought that we could just, like, pretend.